Okay, friends, let's go on now. And we are reversing the wheel, going on the counterclockwise wheel, having discussed the ambiguities of the Alan Leo assignment of decanate rulers, whether Mercury, Venus, Saturn, or Saturn, Venus, Mercury, when considering the clockwise wheel. As I say, it would be nice to confirm these things, but research will be required. It's not enough for us simply to say, thus it seems to be, therefore thus it is. Much more work will have to be done. But here we are now on the counterclockwise wheel. We're beginning with Esoteric Astrology Adventure 105B, and we have reached the stage that is most concerned with people such as ourselves. And this is, I call this the aspirational, higher personal, integrating phase. I mean, it can begin with personality integration, which is not especially spiritual. But that always leads to a kind of dissatisfaction, which leads to loss and discontinuance of a way that does not work. The higher of the pairs of opposites calls, and the individual begins to aspire toward contact with that higher pair of opposites. This is the stage of aspiration, and by the time this stage is over, the person is already on the probationary path and ready for real discipleship. And now this, let us say that there are still some higher aspects of Mercury which continue, because we're looking at the three esoteric rulers. The three rulers, one of which is esoteric. So the Mercury rulership lasts a long time. And there are higher phases of it, and it is subsumed within the impending Venus rulership, which is not really totally in effect until the person really becomes a disciple, although on the path of aspiration it can be felt growing. So this is under the growing, under a growing, I always get new ideas here, Venus rulership. Under a growing Venus rulership, as Venus is the esoteric ruler. And some higher aspects of Mercury involving the possibility of communication between the soul and personality, and a reaching out receptively with that little hat on Mercury, that lunar hat that's on the Mercury glyph, you know, that has to do with receptivity and consciousness. There is the sense here, the orientation of, I serve my brother. Jupiter is coming into the act. Jupiter is so important in Gemini from the second ray perspective, and it's giving that sense of fellowship. I serve my brother due to the general esoteric ruler of Venus, rulership of Venus, because Venus involves the filial relationship between the higher and lower self, and really starts to draw them together. It's not enough that we simply recognize they are two distinct things via Mercury, but the magnetic drawing together of the brothers is so essential. At first, as I say, we'll have the integration of the personality based on intelligence and knowledge, and then aspiration towards the higher of the pairs of opposites and towards unity in relationship. So I'll put that in, aspiration towards higher of the pairs of opposites, and towards unity in relationships. Soul influence is beginning to enter relationships. It's certainly not stabilized yet, because this is still the phase of aspiration. See, basically what I've done is I've taken six phases of human development. Lemurian physical, Atlantean emotional, Aryan mental, higher Aryan mental aspirational, and, of course, within the Aryan race, which is a race of consciousness and not a race of forms, we can develop our discipleship potentials and start moving towards developments which would occur in the fifth, in the sixth root race, and later in the fourth round in the sixth root race. And then the discipleship phase, and then finally the initiatic monadic phase, towards which we all look ahead. So Jupiter is first, and according to the Tibetan, and we'll just imagine what that can be, the range of, let's just say, the range of contacts expands, but it's not just contacts. I should call it the range of more subtle contacts expands. A great interest is shown in how things relate to each other, because Jupiter rounds out that synthesis which the connections of Mercury create. And Jupiter gives all of those connections a certain integrated wholeness. There is success in managing one's many contacts. The aspirant, not sure what I meant to say something there. Oh, the hare. It's the hare. He is eager for a wider life of more and more satisfying contents and interplay, contacts and interplay. And there is the beginning of soul affiliation. So the soul is included within the personality, consciousness. And altogether, a more satisfying spiritual life is envisioned. Now, whether we can actually relate Jupiter per se to the hare, who is always fleeing, that is perhaps a difficult relation. It sounds a bit more like Mercury, we might say. But let's just say that there are so many possible relationships in our Earth field, and usually people are aware of so few. But let's just say the aspirant strives towards inclusivity in relation to his contacts, including much more than he ever did before. Still, there is a certain instability here. We have not settled into the one-pointedness of discipleship. And, I could also say that the integration of the personality at first, I'll get that straight, at first, the integration of the personality is based on inclusive knowledge. So the person is busy, active, increasing the range of contacts, and is perhaps known for increasingly wide knowledge. But then we move into Mars, it's another thing, and here we have Procyon and the eagerness of the aspirant. The conflict between the higher and lower pairs of opposites with aspiration towards contact with the higher of these pairs gradually winning. In this particular case, the higher of the pairs of opposites is the soul, and the lower is the now quite integrated personality. There's a sharp mind, and it justifies the intended relationship with this higher power, and it gives great devotion to contact with the higher power. I think I'll put that in, because Mars is the planet of great devotion, six-ray planet, great devotion to the objective of contacting a higher power. by that higher power, I'm just using a term that's sometimes used in the 12-step programs when people are not too specific about what the soul is, but they know it's there. There's some spiritual part of themselves that they call the higher power. One may at first fight horizontally with one's brothers for the sake of promoting one's point of view, when simply an integrated personality. Later, reason and intelligence will shift the conflict to aspiration towards higher knowledge, and let's just say the higher of the pairs of opposites asserts itself. And demands recognition. It's always a two-way street, the Antikarana, whether it's in the early phases of the Antikarana that we just call contact with the soul, or the later phases where we have contact with the spiritual triad and infusion by the spiritual triad. These are just seeds, little seed ideas here. You can understand that if a person is an integrated personality, and which can be the first phase here, a highly integrated personality that has yet to reach that those conditions of disappointment which show that there's far more to life than personality expression, then that personality can fight others verbally, you know, Mars, and fight with ideas and debate and push its point of view. But later, we can say, I'll put it this way. At first, the personal point of view may be asserted, but later, the assertion is by the soul, which mobilizes personality for a life of aspiration and upreaching. When we finally get to the sun phase, we're still the aspirant, of course, or even the integrated personality, call it higher personal, and the stage of aspiration, the integrating self. That's the sun is always the symbol of integration. The sun is the symbol of personality, of course, in many ways. It's the symbol of the monad and also of the soul itself. So the triple aspects of man can all be symbolized by the sun if the sun is understood in a hierarchical manner, as representing an ever greater ring past not. The integrating self expresses through increasingly brilliant intelligence, so the mind becomes soul illumined increasingly. The individual is capable of shedding light on many facts and factors. The sense of two suns is developed, the lower and the higher, the personal and the solar, or the soul sun. Fluctuation between these two suns exists, but gradual orientation towards the higher sun with which one identifies oneself. So, you know, it's the beginning of the Sirian vibration. It's not that we can... It is the last decanate. It's Sirius, if the extra zodiacal constellations can be correlated with the decanates. Sirius is correlated with the last one, and the whole aspiration towards betterment and towards the possibility of initiation and elevation occurs, and that we know is stimulated very much by the initiatory regime on Sirius, by the Great White Lodge on Sirius, sometimes called the Blue Lodge. That is stimulated from that high source. So the sun decanate of Gemini is really a very full field of opportunity for the expression of the soul. Quite different from what Alan Leo would see, right? He would see Saturn there. But in fact, Saturn would not... Well, Saturn is a lord of karma. And Saturn... and since the law of karma, as we experience it, emanates from Sirius, I guess we could correlate a Saturn rulership with the last decanate. But it's certainly very different from the Sun, because the Sun represents the center, and Saturn the traditional outer boundary. Now, there are trans-Saturnian planets we have discovered, of course. But in traditional astrology, at least, Saturn is the outer rim. So a great opposition occurs there. And when I was thinking about that opposition in Gemini, where Saturn engineers the reversal of the wheel, it's as if Saturn, with his sense of duty, its sense of responsibility and responsiveness to the dictates of the divine plan, opposes the Ahamkara principle represented by the Sun and says, okay, you've been going in a personal way, in a clockwise manner, but now let us travel in a counterclockwise manner, opposing the Ahamkara and the personality, so that a higher Sun may take its place. It's almost like we could envision Sun, Saturn, Sun. The higher Sun, Saturn, the lower Sun, and so forth. Well, these matters go deep, and these are just seed ideas. Of course, you know, in the early days, when you're simply an integrated personality, the selfish integrated personality can demonstrate through knowledge. The know-it-all, know-it-all who wants to be recognized for what he knows. But later, there is an increasingly brilliant intelligence, and maybe the Ahamkara is in the process of reducing. So during the stage of aspiration, the Ahamkara is in process of reduction. The integrating self expresses through increasingly brilliant intelligence, but not necessarily so tied to the sense of being a distinct self, because increasingly two selves are realized. Now we get into that phase where we hope to focus ourselves, because we all seek to be disciples, true disciples, who are one-pointedly serving the divine plan. So I call this the disciplic soul phase. It's definitely under the esoteric ruler. Now remember, the esoteric ruler subsumes the orthodox ruler. We learned about that in the Aquarius chapter some time ago. So it's not like there is a cut-and-dried transition away from the orthodox ruler or the exoteric ruler. No, it's elevating the potentials of that exoteric ruler so they conform more to the esoteric potentials expressed by the esoteric ruler. So now we are under Venus, which is so important in the union of soul and personality. It's the esoteric ruler, the soul, the higher of the pairs of opposites, drawing all into its orbit. And I would say, with respect to the personality, drawing upward. Okay. With respect to the personality, drawing upwards. So the lower self is magnetized toward the higher self, and its qualities are considered now sub-qualities of the higher self. The soul under Venus becomes the real objective, and soul infusion magnetically occurs. There's the orientation now of I serve my brother. Under the aspirational phase, there was an increasing orientation towards I serve my brother, but the true brotherhood was not established. Maybe in discipleship it can be, and certainly by the time we are initiates and really part of the hierarchy, it is firmly established in a manner that we cannot fully understand right now. And during this indrawing, a struggle ensues. Okay. finding the cursor, ensues between the pairs of opposites, with Pollux winning, and the soul prevails. So this is a period of infusion of the lower of the pair by the higher, and a drawing of the lower into the higher magnetically through the power of Venus. And we have very much here a soul illumined mind, because Venus is one of the great illuminators, like Sirius, on a lower scale, of course, and Gemini, a mental sign. So the opportunity to transcend the normally dark and concrete, illusion-prone mind is here. A great clarification of mind occurs in a general sense. So for the disciple, from 0 to 10 degrees, it's Jupiter. And at first, the integration of the personality is based on inclusive knowledge. So, you know, Jupiter knows many things. Jupiter gathers many things into the field of knowledge. Many items of knowledge are gathered. And there's the sense of having full mental grasp of life. But then the range of more subtle contacts will expand. Oh, wait a second. Oh, where am I? I'm so sorry. A fuller mental grasp of life. Now, I needed to be down here. So, excuse me. It was sounding fairly familiar. So there's the growing fusion here under Jupiter of the higher and lower selves, because Jupiter is the force that brings all things together. And Jupiter is connected via Sagittarius with the abstract mind and with the larger perspective and, you know, with philosophy, which uses the abstract mind. The abstract mind is developing some awareness of a still more expanded view offered by the spiritual triad is coming into focus. The Ray 2 potentials are emerging. The Ray 2 potentials of Jupiter in relation to Gemini are emerging. And yes, it is fusion. The growing possibility that these pairs of opposites will really communicate with and enhance each other, and they're all part of one field. Let's just call it the pairs of opposites are seen to be part of one inclusive field. And the sense of opposition is overcome by the power of Jupiter. Now, Mars is never an easy planet. You know, it's a non-sacred planet, but it is useful. It's one of the planets of the disciple, because Mars is the ruler of Scorpio, which is the sign of discipleship. Mars and Saturn, two apparently malefic planets, well, malefic only to the personality which wants its own comfort. Mars is the ruler of Scorpio, and Saturn as the ruler of Capricorn are instrumental in opening the door to the hierarchy. So the brothers are warring. They always do. There is this ongoing Kurukshetra here, but increasingly the keen, acute intelligence, Mars does rule also the concrete mind, and is acute and keen. It comes to the aid of the higher brother, and the higher brother, Pollux, prevails. Interestingly, Pollux, I just realized this, you know, this Pollux is a lord of, if I can put it this way, boxers. If you're a pugilist, how do we spell that word? Pugilist. If you're a pugilist, your star is Pollux. And interestingly enough, we're talking about a more aggressive stance here, where the soul definitely becomes dominating. There is high aspiration for great knowledge of high things and eagerness for higher relations. Let's call it that. Eagerness for higher relations and a reaching out towards ever higher pairs of opposites. The triad is an objective. Even the monad is an objective. So there is a kind of friction in relationship, burning grounds. Let's put it that way, burning grounds in relationships, refining ultimately. Okay, then, you know, this is the disciple. He can advance his point. He speaks as if from the higher of the pairs of opposites and thinks from the soul and asserts those points, asserts them in the lower worlds. They may cause friction in their assertion. The disciple is sometimes an enunciating factor, bringing forward ideas, truths, the sense of relationships, which others don't see, and this appearance of the promoted relationships causes friction. So, but the friction ultimately leads to the will of reconciliation, will for reconciliation. The sun comes in here in the third decanate. The soul knowledge of the higher self is prevailing. It is shining. The higher brother waxes in solar light. And the disciple, let's not call it one, let's just call it the disciple, identifies increasingly as that waxing higher self. So at this point of discipleship, he knows himself to be the higher self rather often, perhaps not with complete continuity, and the Syrian influence is meaningful, and the Syrian system of initiation is being attempted, and ever greater illumination of the mind, the loving mind is coming in here, the solarized mind is growing. So we say the mind held steady in the light is becoming an increasing possibility. But what I, you know, unfortunately, the way this is going, I have to bring this down, because the paper always wants to, the document always wants to jump up here. So let's see what we have here. Right. Sorry for the delay. The document's not quite responding the way I'd like it to. With which one? The solarized mind is growing. Solarized mind, and solarized self. Okay. So that is a solar phase for the disciple, Jupiter, Mars, and the Sun. And, you know, interesting that, this is interesting, both in Gemini and in Sagittarius, these opposite signs, the middle decanate is one of struggle. The middle decanate has a Martian rulership in both cases for the disciple, or for the one on the counter clockwise wheel. So there's great ardor and devotion in Sagittarius, and here the struggle between the brothers, with the higher brother prevailing and asserting his points, his thoughts in the world, so as to help change the pattern of thought, fighting against illusion, the settled illusions of the world, disturbing them, disturbing the settled thoughts and illusions of the world. We can find that in the second decanate. And here in the third decanate, manifesting very much as what one is, namely more soul than a personality. Well, finally, we become to the initiatic stage. As I've said, you may have noticed that these stages do not correspond exactly, at least the three levels of rulership, do not correspond exactly to the charts on page 332 and 333, because those charts have the division in a slightly different manner. The undeveloped man, the advanced man, who is not quite the disciple, is in the second category. So the second category in this chart, in this tabulation, does not correspond to the second or esoteric ruler. Although at the end of the advanced man phase, maybe the esoteric ruler is coming in. By the time a person is a disciple, the esoteric ruler is quite well established, and also the orthodox ruler as well. No, I'm sorry, the hierarchical ruler. I was distracted there by something that appeared in the lower right-hand corner. You know, when you're doing these spontaneous things, unfortunately, little distractions do occur. So for the undeveloped man, we can certainly have the ordinary orthodox ruler. For the advanced man, the orthodox ruler continues on a higher turn of the spiral, and a little bit of the esoteric ruler comes in. For the disciple initiate, the esoteric ruler and the hierarchical ruler are both effective. So we certainly have two planets effective in this last column, which in the case of Gemini, when it talks about right relations and I serve the one, would be both Venus and the Earth. Now, looking at the initiatic or monadic stage, we are, the Earth is our ruler. I think we've come very, it almost reminds me, Earth is hierarchical ruler, reminds of the path of Earth service, or a tendency towards that path, or tending in that direction. So everything that has been achieved by these very sacred planets, Mercury and Venus, is brought right to the Earth, and the full field of expression is there. And the advancement of the planet towards angelic sacredness is coming into focus for the initiate, who is living in response to the monad. And this may take us through quite a few initiations. It begins to be effective at the third degree, but there are other initiations that loom ahead where Earth should be considered the ruler. I do begin to wonder whether, well, the sign Gemini is very important on the second path of magnetic work, of course, but I do begin to wonder whether it could not also be effective in relation to the first path of Earth service. Matter of fact, when you start putting the Tibetans' descriptions of the path of Earth service together, at one point he mentions Libra, and then later he mentions, I believe, the constellation Gemini. Both are important. When you think about Earth service, it is the necessity to transform the third-ray tendencies into second-ray tendencies. Last solar system tendencies into present solar system tendencies. And Libra brings in the third ray and Gemini the second, but they both have resonances in a reversed manner as well. So the soul influence of Venus continues. With the soul influence of Venus, I would say, continuing. And arriving at fulfillment, or fulfilled. And we have right relation, and I serve the one. Interestingly, on this planet, Earth, with its first ray monad, eventually we should be in a position using that type of energy where we can appreciate the meaning of isolated unity, in which all form, all the plethora of forms, the many, many forms here on earth can all be seen as aspects of the one infinite being. So this is the initiate moves, or the initiate assists. The initiate assists in the gradual sacratization of the earth, the gradual making sacred of the earth. So what do we have here under Jupiter in this third degree level or beyond? The spirit and soul are uniting, and DK uses a fascinating term that we have reviewed in the Gemini chapter. He calls it a fluid dualism in synthesis is achieved. So no separation between the opposites, but they are realized to be reflections of each other and actually to be the same thing, just the way the opposing signs of the zodiac eventually merge and are seen as the same thing, each giving its qualities to the other. A fluid dualism in synthesis, spirit, soul, soul, spirit. The sense of separation is overcome in the realization of this fluid synthesis. The spiritual triad, Buddhi and Manas especially, are increasingly integrated with the soul-infused personality. Gemini is not so much a sign of the first ray, but it has many second and third ray connections. The One is seen, I serve the One, and is understood and embraced, and I want to say here that all things are Jupiterianly, there is no such word, Jupiterianly included in the One. So there's a very full sense of the whole and all the relations within the whole, and it kind of reminds you of the detailed unity of the second ray. It's not exactly meticulous entirety. I think we should leave that more to the influence of Virgo and the second ray and Jupiter. But there's the sense of inseparably unified relationships within the whole. Maybe I can write that down so I don't forget it. Inseparably unified relationships within the whole. Jupiter is a very wonderful planet, really. And although usually considered weak in Gemini, for the highly developed Gemini, it really promotes intuition, love, and wholeness. And there is no intuition without the sense of wholeness, really. Intuition, love, and wholeness promoted. Maybe we'd have to change the symbol there. What can the hare become? Is the hare now not running away, but using all of its speed to negotiate, to travel the many, many paths which are all seen to be one interconnected network? Perhaps there are other extra-zodiacal constellations or other meanings for that one when it deals with a high individual. Now for Mars, well, here the initiate is dealing with aspirants and is not an aspirant himself unless he's an aspirant to a still higher stage. The power to inspire aspiration in others through thought and speech. We're not just fighting with them now. Maybe we fought with them more under the aspirational phase, you know, where trying to advance your point of view causes friction. As a matter of fact, I'd like to put that here in the sake of promoting one's point of view and later, I'll just say advancing one's point of view causes friction. I'm back up here. One may first horizontally, fight horizontally for the sake of promoting one's point of view, a frictional activity. related to fire by friction. Right, but later, when out of the aspirational phase, out of the discipleship phase, one really can encourage the appearance of courage through higher thought. Okay, higher thought wakens others to courage. There is aspiration, as Mars is always the planet of aspiration, and aspiration is possible at any point along the developmental continuum. There is something towards which great souls are also aspiring. Master Moria, a Chohan, and so many of his little paragraphs there by saying, strive fierily, strive fierily. So, aspiration towards union with the highest of the pairs of opposites, which is the spirit monad. We become reoriented towards the monad. And the soul, per se, we are now soul-infused, is no longer our objective. So there is a connection between Mars and the monadic plane via the sixth ray, because the monadic plane is the sixth plane, from below upward. And, you know, the courage to make that quest to go forth into the five lower worlds and to return, it does require a kind of Martian initiative to take the plunge and go down into incarnation and to fight your way through all of the elemental forces. Mars is very strong. So one is here the salmon swimming upstream, you know. The forcefulness is involved of the higher of the pairs of opposites. You know, the monad can be very forceful. And we can say here, fighting one's way back to the spirit, because Gemini is not just soul and personality, it is spirit and soul. DK tells us this, and we've been discussing it, that fluid synthesis is involved, dualism and synthesis, fluid synthesis. We have to be able to fight our way from one pole to another on occasion and have the courage to repolarize ourselves within the higher. Now, in this case, the higher is not the soul, because the individual is the soul-infused personality. It is the spirit itself, fighting one's way towards pure being so that one can assert the will to be on the monadic level. Now the sun, it's kind of the climax of it all in the 20 to 30 decanate, which is correlated in some theories with Sirius. The initiate realizes himself as the one self, regardless of all apparent diversity. That's the thing, because Gemini presents such diversity that it is easy to be preoccupied with it, to become preoccupied and forget the unity which is behind it all, get so caught up in variety that one fails to isolate the unity. You know, look out into this content of consciousness of the planetary logos, and there's so many distractions, and we know Gemini people are prone to distractions, but at this point, the Sirian and solar aspect of this last decanate, despite all the potential distractions, one stays within that higher self and has isolated the unity. The spiritual triad dominates, and then the highest of the pairs of opposites, the monad, dominates, and both communicate with the initiate in the lower worlds. And the initiate in the lower worlds knows he is the one, even though he appears to be the two or the three. So, I serve the one is there, and right relation is the keynote of the general period we're in here, meaning right archetypal relation. So the archetypes are revealed, and in the world of archetypes, all of these standing waves, all of these preserved ideas are always in correct and mutually supplementing relationship with others, other such ideas. So there really is a coming home to the higher self and including all variety within it, or to the higher self, a coming home to the one and including in it all possible variety. So variety no longer distracts from the sense of oneness. Now, what a range there is here. You know, we have people at all different stages, so many rather definite stages and interim stages, and you just look out at the happenings on our planet and within humanity, and we see people really working on different levels. We should become very, very aware, not just of the discrimination between spiritual and not spiritual, but of the many levels and sub-levels in which people are focusing their desire and aspiration. And then we can apply the potentials revealed by the decanate rulerships in a more intelligent and useful manner, something that the people can really use. This will take, well, as I look at it, you know, for most of us, hundreds of years yet before we can really do this as we should. But we have to start somewhere, and we should learn the rulers, and when there is some degree of uncertainty or vagueness, the other possibilities, the other possible rulers, and what each might contribute, and what each might contribute to the six different levels of human evolution as I've isolated them here. There are probably, you know, intermediate levels as well. But I think that pretty much we can go with the physically polarized, mentally polarized, astrally polarized, mentally polarized, personally polarized, aspirational eventually, soul polarized, and spirit polarized individuals, as we find in the left column. Whenever I finish speaking about a series of decanates in relation to a particular sign and their rulers, I always have that feeling of dissatisfaction. You know, so much more to be seen and so much more to be said, and only some of the main points, perhaps, have been indicated. We have to see this at work in life. We have to know human beings so well and know enough of them that we see these things happening, so that we can really help people see the stage in which they are in and what forces and energies they can call in to assist with the achievement of what should be their objectives. People have all kinds of objectives. Do they have the objectives that they should have? Well, it's not for us to tell them per se, but we can suggest, and we can hint, and we can offer food for thought which may clarify the situation for the individual, so he knows where he stands and what he has to do and what he has to work with in the accomplishment of what he has to do. All right. Well, letting go and detaching oneself from a subject is always difficult for me, but I think it's necessary to move on. We have here the discussion of the words for Gemini, the mantra which the soul spoke when the soul in incarnation first went forth into lower matter, and with the inner command to work its way back to soul, but not immediately, surely. And then we have the mantram that is given to facilitate soul union and perhaps beyond. So one is more in the applied to the involutionary stage of human development, or at least development within the personality vehicles, and then later the stage of liberation or freedom. The obviousness, he says, of the meaning of the two words for this sign requires from me no elucidation. For the ordinary man, the word goes forth, let instability do its work. What is that work? What is the work of instability? Not staying in one place too long so as to become stagnant. In other words, mutation of relation, wide exposure, wide experience, not becoming stuck in any series of impressions so that one is ignorant of how many more there really are. Mutation of relation. And thereby touching on the many parts of the one whole which later have to be seen in coordination and as a unity. You know how we can get into a rut and we just experience the same things over and over again until we are very limited by that type of experience and we are ignorant of the many other things going on, and Gemini works against that kind of rutted ignorance. Let instability do its work of wide exposure and eventually intelligent response to that to which one is exposed, but not at first, just exposure. But for the disciple, the word is uttered by the soul later when the individual is identified as a soul. I recognize my other self, the self I thought I was for so long, but have now disidentified with. I recognize my other self, and in the waning of that self, I grow and glow. A new stage of identification. It's a bit like the sun in the third decanate. I am the luminous higher self. What I thought I was is waning in terms of its own elemental light, but is opening up to the possibility of being irradiated by gradually infusing soul light, and so will shine not with its own light, but with the light of the soul. So it's a disidentification here. It's an objectivity. It's a feeling of growth as a soul. When contemplating a detachment from an object which hitherto preoccupied us, that object being the personality instrument, which finally becomes more and more instrumental instead of a preoccupying trap to consciousness. Fluidity, recognition of duality, soul control. See, this is interesting because Scorpio has duality in it as well in the middle phase. But in Scorpio, we have, conflict with duality. And here, it's just a fluctuation and recognition. Not so much conflict, but of course, when you think about that Mars position in the middle decanate, well, then there can be conflict. These are the keynotes of this sign. Fluidity, recognition of duality, and soul control, the law of magnetic impulse, the fourth law, the law by which, not the magnetic impulse, but it's the systemic, the fourth systemic law. magnetic control. And yes, yes, that is what it's called here, the seven laws. The middle law, magnetic control, whereby the higher self controls the lower under the impulse of the solar angel. So these are the keynotes of this sign, soul control. And maybe the soul control has a lot to do with the Earth rulership at last, because Earth is a very powerful planet eventually, a first-ray monadic planet. And we have become, by that time, adjudicators between the pairs of the opposites. These are the keynotes of this sign and should be the keynote of your life. There is a general application of all these signs to us. For whether you are in this sign in this life, in meaning the sun sign, it has at some time and many times conditioned your experience, and the results are marked in the life of the advanced disciple. The results are marked. One thinks of the making one's mark and how that implies the third degree. But certainly the communion between the personality and soul is the hallmark of the disciple. He understands the messages, the will, the ideas of the soul, and these are infused in his nature, and he can always access the soul, can always communicate with that higher aspect of his nature which knows the divine plan. And so the transmission occurs from the higher to the lower via Mercury and via Gemini, and the soul is put in the place of authority, intelligently supplying the perspective that is needed by the man within the personality fields. Fluidity, recognition of duality, and at length, after the conflict is subsiding, the waxing light of the soul assumes control over all the fluctuations of the personality and stabilizes those according to the higher intelligence which it communicates to the personality mind. And then the instrument truly reflects the intention of the intelligent and loving soul. Well, that's the end of our work here in Gemini. So we have the end of Esoteric Astrology Adventure, number 105B. And we are on page 369. I guess we spent so much time in the sixfold decanate charts. We haven't moved a whole lot in the book per se. And beginning of Esoteric Astrology 106, page 369, and at last we'll be getting into Taurus. It would be nice then to finish these 404 pages soon, if possible. I have a trip impending to the United States. I would like to finish before going. Don't know if that's possible, but I know that this is maybe a very different way of studying this book. You know, most of us are perhaps used to reading, and this is reading and listening at the same time, and it's conversational rather than written in a tight presentational form. But hopefully ideas will come across and connections will come across, and the whole will become increasingly interrelated in what we might call a detailed unity. And the intended archetypal relationships between all things, the right relations between all things, will be known and understood. That's a very Geminian theme, and this whole type of work is in a way Geminian. Linking up the many factors within the one field of consciousness, linking up all the contents of consciousness, and seeking their Jupiterian unification into one articulated whole. So, Just one ohm and we'll move on. Okay, friends, keep studying, keep assimilating, and one day we will all understand, as Master DK and the great astrologers in the Hierarchical Department of Astrology understand. One day.